Today, we have a bus driver with us. Did you know that? He used to haul kids around in Alameda. And his wife, who sings beautifully, she would refuse to sing today, but his eyes on the sparrow. Doris and Bob, they were friends from back in the 70s, actually. Can you imagine? A pastor and his people staying friends that long, Steve? Thank you. That's what I've always appreciated about our ministry. We have friends because of Christ. And that's the reason Pastor Steve and I are able to work together. I'm going to ask at this time that we bow in prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Bob if he will lead us as we pray, that God will just speak to our hearts, that we'll be the people he wants us to be. Bob? Amen. Years ago, there was a product on the market called Slick 50. Does anybody remember that product? Slick 50. Some of you old folks do. Well, you know, it was an engine additive, and it was a product that was promoted by its manufacturers as being a product that would actually reduce engine wear. It was to be added to the oil, and Slick 50 was touted as being able to reduce the friction between the pistons and the motor, also to increase fuel mileage, give greater power to the vehicle. It was promoted as a great product. Well, you know, I don't really know if it was capable of doing everything that the manufacturer said it would do. But I can tell you this. My son Benjamin had an old VW that his grandfather had given him, and we put some Slick 50 in the engine. And I want to tell you that immediately, just like that, the RPM increased, and also it ran quieter. And also we discovered that it had better fuel efficiency. It made an immediate difference in that old VW when it was added to the oil. Slick 50 did a great job. Now, there was a man who walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, Galilee, Samaria, and he made some awesome claims too. Really awesome claims. Listen to some of the things that he claimed. He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That's a mighty big claim, isn't it? That he could give somebody a life that never ends. And he went on to say that, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger." And he goes on to say this, that he who believes in me shall never thirst. Never get thirsty again. You know what the woman at the well said? She said, "Give me that water. I don't want to be coming back here." But he was talking about something far greater. He also said the water. Now listen to this. He said the water that I give shall become in him a well springing up to eternal life. A continuous flow. He said, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Now, would you not agree that these are pretty awesome statements? Pretty amazing statements, are they not? That a man would claim that he was able to do for others. You know what he said? He said that he would give to those who receive, and note that's an important aspect, a continuing supply of spiritual bread and water that made life not just bearable, folks. Not just bearable, but abundant. Now, isn't that really what we want? We don't want to just be able to bear and exist, do we? We want something greater. And that's what he said he would give, the something greater. See, abundant life is one of excitement, joy, and power. 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 That is life without the fear of what is to come, what tomorrow holds. That's what he's talking about, life abundant. See, to face the future with this assurance that we read from the Apostle Paul, look what he said. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given. He has given abundant life, regardless of circumstances that you will face, even maybe this afternoon or tomorrow or in the weeks to come. He gives power, abundant power, to live victoriously in the world in which we live. That's what he promises. You know, there are times, though, and we have to admit this, when excitement kind of runs underground, doesn't it? And joy that we speak about seems to be non-existent, not necessarily on the surface. But when one has the abundant life that Jesus gives, the power is always present, folks. Always. Never do you have to worry about it. It's always there because Jesus said, I am with you. How much? How much? Always, never will he leave us. His Holy Spirit is always with us. Now, you know, the makers of Slick 50 did not claim that the mountains between Rockland and Truckee would be any less steep. As a matter of fact, then I got to change. But you know what they did say? They said if you would add Slick 50 to the oil, that they promised that your automobile would be able to have additional power to climb the steeps. That's what they said. Jesus, now listen to me and listen to me closely. Jesus did not say or promise you life without challenges. He didn't. Challenging mountains. He did not promise you valleys without trouble. Listen, but he did promise. He did promise this, that there would be power for every mountain. And there would be peace for every valley. Power for every mountain and peace for every valley. Do you have that peace? Do you have that power today to live with that assurance? See, he not only promises the power. Here's the good news. He delivers. I know. He delivers. The pastor can testify just this week. He delivers. He delivers. He not only promises. I know this from personal experience, my own life, and also from the testimony of multitudes of others. And I'm just going to mention a few, but I have mentioned my sister and her husband before, Red and Leona. They had a son who was born with hydrocephalus, which is fluid on the brain or in the cranial area. At the time, of course, they didn't do the testing they do today, so he didn't get a shunt. So for 44 years he lived, and for 44 years they cared for him, 18 years at home and then later in a home, but she was always there, his advocate, if you will. They took him to church just like he was part of the rest of the family. He went camping with the kids. They grew up. He was part of the family. I was there in the room, just like Pastor, when Daryl went home to be with the Lord. They were right there with that son. Supportive, caring, wherever, right there. Always faithful to the Lord. You know, the church there at First Baptist Duncan built a special crib so that they could bring Daryl to church. And they took him. And you know that today, another one of their four sons is dying of brain cancer. But they're still faithful. They were in church this morning. I promise you that. They were there to hear God's word because they're faithful. Faithful. In spite of the circumstances, and it's God's strength. And that was Lisa. You've heard me mention Lisa. Lisa and her sisters owned a dress shop in San Francisco. And one afternoon, Lisa is there alone. in the dress shop, and a fellow comes in and he is making as if he is kind of looking for a dress for his fiancée. Right, he's doing his casing the place. And he comes back just a little bit later, and when he comes back, he's going to rob her. But she resists, and he has a knife, and he slashes her arm, slashes her throat, leaves her laying on the floor bleeding for dead. First time we went to visit her in the hospital, she was so swollen, Joni said, I cannot go back. Well, when she did get into a room of her own, we go in, and so as we walk in, Lisa cannot talk because, see, her throat, her vocal cords have been traumatized to the point she can't talk, can't sing anymore either, and she has a beautiful voice. But she had a pad, and she wrote on that pad, God is good. You know what? God was right there in the midst of it, and she was trusting him. Young service family, he was an officer in the Navy. Chuck and Lori were part of our church. I had the privilege of baptizing them there at Alameda. They had no children. They were just a young family. They had children. They grew up, served in the Marine Corps. And today, one of them is in prison for murdering his wife. This couple is still faithful. He's on the board of their church. He was on the pastor search committee that they recently, when they recently called their pastor. They're faithful. I had lunch with them, oh, maybe a year or so ago in the state where they live. Yes, even in the face of all of this, they know God's strength. God's strength is power to live. And I want to tell you, I can look around this congregation, and I know that many also have had the same experience. Some of you know others who have been faithful, stayed right there. They did not move, even though they may have felt the hurt. And I asked you this question. Do you think that maybe all of these that I just mentioned at one time felt like King David when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or maybe had never cried themselves to sleep. I promise you, they probably did. They probably did. Or felt like King David when he cried out, my feet came close to stumbling and my step almost slipped. Yes, indeed, they all had times of struggle. Times of struggle. But listen, they remembered. They remembered. And they called on God. Hear my prayer. Oh God, give heed to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to thee. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in thy tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of thy wing. Oh, they've learned the timeless truth. The timeless truth of these precious words. That is, cast your burden upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you, and he cares for you. That's what the scripture says. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you, for the righteous will never be shaken. Never be shaken. See, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. And just a couple of verses later, he said this, I not only have learned, But he said, I can do this. Why? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was his secret. That was his secret, is he had strength from within, from above. Christ was his strength. See, we have to learn to lean on Jesus. Some of you know this little chorus. Learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever know. Learning to lean on Jesus. That's what we must do. Lean on him. Now, I have a question for you. Since power, that is power to live regardless of what may be happening in your life or may happen in your life, to have that power available to live victoriously, why is it that so many church members seem to just fall apart and are so shaken when they face life's difficulties or tragedies? And I want to tell you something, folks, we're all going to face them. We are going to face them. The question is, why? Now, there are many reasons given, but I want to just share two with you. And one is that I sense from my own experience is that many who call themselves Christians have never received the abundant life nor power to live. Now, you heard me right. Never received the abundant life nor power to live. You see, Jesus, he said, I give unto them. Isn't that what he said? I give unto them. And then again, we receive as many as receive him become the children of God. You see, there is a process here. He makes available, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Notice, he gave, and we're to receive. We are to receive. As many as receive him. See, the abundant life and the power that's available for our daily living in this real world comes as we not only hear about, but receive God's wonderful grace and mercy, forgiveness, and power. Power. You know, some people say, well, I go to church, Pastor. I go to church. I believe in God. Do you know and do you realize that many people during the time of the popularity of Slick 50 went to the auto parts store? And kind of intellectually, they believed that Slick 50 was probably a pretty good product. But they walked right out the door. Slick 50 was still on the shelf. They left without the product. Listen, going to church does not a Christian make. It just doesn't. It does not. See, however, it does put us in close proximity to the Lord Jesus and the message of his word so that we may have the opportunity to receive him and his power. See, to have the abundant life that God offers through Christ and the power to live in this unpredictable world, and I want to tell you, it is an unpredictable world. You must receive Jesus. Have you heard the story, how he came from glory? That you may have hope of sin forgiven and heaven. You've heard it. You've heard it if you've been here. Have you received it? Have you opened your heart to his persistent knocking? Have you invited Jesus in? If you have, you have the power. If you haven't, you'll never have the power. That's number one. Never having received. Number two is that many Christians do not avail themselves of the power that's available through Christ. Many Christians just don't trust God. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. That's right. We just don't trust God. You see, we have forgotten that he is the wonderful one, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Is he not? That's what Isaiah wrote, what? about the coming Savior. Now, many will declare, Pastor, I pray. I pray, Pastor. I guarantee you, Pastor Steve hears this. The truth is, we do when we're in a mess, right? Yeah, I'm in a mess. God, help me get out of this mess. Help me with my problem. That's the way we pray so often. You see, realizing, and note this, we're already in the big mess. And now we want God to come and pluck us out, right? Get me out of this mess that I'm in. I read my Bible. And I look for answers. Oh, I got to have a solution to this problem right now. But you know what we need to realize? Is that prayer and reading the Bible is preparation for times of need as well as in times of need. I'm not saying we don't pray, God help me now. What I'm saying is if you really want the power that God can provide, you need to be praying now as it relates to tomorrow. It's preparation prayer. That's what we're talking about, preparation prayer. You see, just think about this for a moment. Suppose a person walks into an auto parts store and purchases that bottle of Slick 50. They go out in the parking lot, throw it in the trunk. Now, fully intending to add it to the oil later on. And then one day, driving down the freeway, the engine's running hot, exhaust smoke, the bearings are rattling. He pulls over the side. He's in trouble. So he opens the trunk, puts it in the oil, expecting a modern mechanical miracle, right? Now, we would consider that person impractical and naive, wouldn't we? And rightly so, because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And yet, many of us, let's be honest, many of us treat God the same way. Our relationship with Christ. What do I mean? Well, we call ourselves Christian. And we put or carry the Lord Jesus in the trunk of our life. Never letting him actually work in the process of changing us into his people. And then a crisis arises. A crisis arises. And we call on God to bring an instant miracle. Now, if I were to ask to have people hold up their hand who's done that, I guarantee you'd be 100%. Because we've done it. It's amazing. In our life, we go to church, we call ourselves Christians, and so often something bad happens, we think, oh, why is God letting this happen in our life? Well, if you want to know the truth, the reason is letting it so you can grow. That's really part of, big part of it, so you can grow. But see, the abundant life and power that Jesus promises us and provides to us is available. But you got to be prepared. You must be prepared. Why do I say that? Because life's events, and you know this, I'm not telling you anything new. You know it already. See, life's events come tumbling in, unexpected, unannounced, and certainly unwanted. Isn't that all right? We don't want them. And they do not call for an appointment. Can I come in today? Just like the tragedy a little over a week ago on Highway 70. Carl, Linda, their daughter Tiama, driving down the highway, discussing the activities of the day, and pickup truck comes across. Head on. Linda driving, dead. The driver of the pickup, dead. Carl and his daughter, seriously injured. Just like that. There was no time for preparation. They didn't even see it coming. That quick. In an instant. And that's exactly how life is. And I know I've mentioned some things that, you know, all of us aren't going to see. But I want to tell you, there are other things. Like serious health issues. Children getting mixed up in the wrong things. Divorce. Financial matters. Losing job. Can you imagine losing your job if you're already in debt up your neck and then the guy tells you your job's over? Oh, there's all kinds of issues like that, right? So is God still powerful? Oh, he's always powerful. It's just us understanding that. Understanding it. You see, you must always be ready because you just don't know. When you get up in the morning, what do you know about today? That's right, nothing. We just think we do, but we don't. You see, we must be ready for any and every circumstance that comes our way. And listen, here's the good news. You can be. You can be. As you read God's word and as you listen to his voice from the word. Can you sing, "Speak to my heart"? Then let God's word speak to you. And then pray. Pray, seeking his will and purpose, his presence, his power. Seeking. Listen to these words from Isaiah 40. Familiar words to all who know the book of Isaiah. But he says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable, meaning perfect. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, listen, yet those that wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weary." Now's the time, folks. Now's the time to prepare for whatever may come your way. Now. See, trust Almighty God. I read just a week or so ago about that our prayers are not about our helplessness. It's about the almighty power of God. If God wasn't almighty, we're still going to be helpless, right? So it's him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But always remember these words of warning. And folks, it's important for us to remember them. Listen to what he says in Psalm 32. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. In a time when thou mayest be found. For surely, in a flood of great waters, they shall not reach him. Do you know that God does not just want to be your emergency room doctor? Did you know that? He doesn't just want to be your emergency room doctor. He wants to be your primary care physician to keep you spiritually healthy and strong. That's our God. That's our God. You see, strong in order that you may have the power to live victoriously every day, regardless of what happens. I'd like to say to you that we would all come back next Sunday. No tragedy, nothing would have happened. But I can't say that. But I'll tell you what I can say, that regardless of what happens, If you're trusting in the Lord, He's right there with you to give you power and strength and encouragement to live each day. Because indeed He is our strength and our refuge. You can trust Him. You can trust Him because God is trustworthy. Gracious and mighty Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your gracious love that extends to us Your presence and Your power. Oh, Lord God, help us to trust You today and for all of the todays that You give us. Thank You, Lord, for Your people. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts.